Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The National Football League has held 46 Super Bowls, and only once did the champion complete an undefeated season. That team was the 1972 Miami Dolphins, who've held on to that record over the past four decades, even as the sport has gotten bigger, faster, and stronger, and other records have been obliterated by the modern game. Even the mighty 2007 Patriots couldn't equal those Dolphins, finishing with 18 wins but one monumental loss, a Super Bowl defeat at the hands of the upstart Giants. Indeed, the 72 Fish have become a mythical team in football history. Once a kitschy expansion team, they rebounded from a Super Bowl loss the year before to rally under the leadership of head coach Don Shula. By the time it was over, Miami finished 17-0, including a clutch 14-7 win over the Redskins in Super Bowl VII. CBSSports.com NFL insider Mike Freeman is the author of the new book Undefeated, Inside the 1972 Miami Dolphins Perfect Season, which is published by HarperCollins imprint It Books. Mike Freeman, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
How did the 1971 season set up what happened the year after?
It set up everything. I mean, you really talked about it well in your opening in regards to, A, where the franchise was before that 71 Super Bowl and before the perfect season. It was a joke of a franchise. No one wanted to go there. It really was kind of a disgrace. And then Shula comes, and in a few short years, turns things around. They go to that 71 Super Bowl against Dallas and just get blown out. So people began to think that the Dolphins were still kind of a joke and that Super Bowl was a fluke. What Shula did was play off of all that. It was a really smart approach. He told the players, instead of just put that loss behind you, which is what most coaches do, he told the players to remember it. And they took that to heart. You know, one guy took a photo of the final scoreboard and put it on his locker for the whole following season. Things like that happened all across the board. They really took what Shula said to heart, and then it galvanized them. They used that loss as a great source of motivation, and only because Shula made sure they wanted to remember it, and they remembered it, and they used it to propel them to a perfect season.
You know, that kind of motivation stuff doesn't always work. In recent years, I've been following the Jets, who went to back-to-back AFC title games. Next thing you know, Rex Ryan is guaranteeing a Super Bowl trip, and they finish 8-8. So what was it about Shula himself that made the team rally around him?
You know, that's a really good question, and the answer is complicated in some ways, because what Shula had been to Super Bowls, even though he had a really horrible loss, historic loss as coach of the Colts before he joined Miami to Joe Namath's Jets and that Joe Namath guarantee, he still had cachet. He's still this guy that was known as this bright young coach. So some of that, when he came to the Dolphins, he was able to use that to convince the players that he knew what he was doing. But a big thing is, you mentioned someone like Rex Ryan and the coaches today. When Shula was coaching, respect for authority was built in. You had guys who definitely did their own thing. But for the most part, you respected what the coach said because that's just what you did. And today, today is a lot different. Today, players think they run the league. Now, in some ways they're right, but in some ways obviously that's not true, and coaches have a great deal of responsibilities, but players today sort of see the coaches as almost in some ways as obstacles. There are exceptions. I mean, Bill Belichick commands a locker room. Tom Coughlin commands a locker room. There wasn't always that way. But for the most part, players in a lot of different other locker rooms think they run the show, whereas before, players really listened to the head coach.
Now, what were some of the close calls along the way that could have derailed the perfect season?
Well, there's one big obvious one, and that's Brian Griese, starting quarterback, who's in the Hall of Fame now, goes down with a horrible leg injury early in the season. Most teams now, and most teams especially then, you lose a starter like that at quarterback, your season's done. So he goes down. Earl Morrill, who had played with Shula in Baltimore, comes in for Greasy, and they win the rest of their games. The offense never skips a beat. It goes that way until Pittsburgh game at halftime, Shula puts Greasy back in, and then Greasy finishes out the season. It's really, when you think about all these different things, some of it is to have to go into a perfect season, some of it's luck, skill, all these different things. That's one of those things where all those things intersect. They had luck because they brought Earl Morrill to the team, which is also part of planning and projecting for when disaster strikes, and then their skill of Morrill himself, who was a very, very good quarterback. It was remarkable. I mean, you can't imagine Tom Brady going down with the Patriots and then the backup taking them to an undefeated season. That just wouldn't happen today, and that was a really, really big thing for the Dolphins.
So I can't decide if it was more of an anomaly for that team to go undefeated or that no one has done it since. Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think it's that no one's done it since. Look, there are more games, and what really no one has done it since. The reason why no one's done it since them is the league has just become, especially today, just much more even. The salary cap rules, other things. The league basically legislates parity, and they want teams going into the final 2 weeks of the season, they want them to all be in the hunt for the playoffs. They want every NFL city to have a chance. So that's one reason why it hasn't happened. But still, it's remarkable that 40 years have gone by, four decades, and not only has no one done it, really only a handful of teams have approached it. And that tells you how hard it is. It's just, you can count on one hand a number of teams that really have come close, and it remains to me just one of the most amazing things I've ever been around.
Tell us about Joe Robbie, the owner of the Dolphins.
Well, there's a story that sort of tells a lot about Joe Robbie, who's this very a man of many sort of contradictions and different facets to him, like most people, but really with him. Quick story, the Dolphins had a mascot named Flipper. It was a dolphin, and he had his own tank, and he was near the end zone, and whenever the Dolphins would score, Flipper would do his thing. I, from what I read, I don't really know this. Flipper was a big star in his day. So Joe Robbie, the owner of the Dolphins, got into an argument with the city over who should maintain the tank that Flipper lived in. City rightfully said, it's your mascot, you're responsible. So Joe Robbie, in sort of a fit, fired the Dolphin, and that led to in a Sports Illustrated profile of Joe Robbie, the headline was "The Man Who Fired Flipper." And he was notoriously cheap. He also had some issues with drinking. So he was considered kind of a joke of an owner, of a joke of a franchise. So you have that part of him, but you also have he was allowing Shula to, he stayed out of Shula's way, that's the best way to put it. And he was actually, in terms of football knowledge, he was a really good football owner. So he knew the sport, he knew to sort of let his personnel men and Shula sort of do their thing, but he was also very, very cheap and drank a little too much. So he was a man of several contradictions.
Now, we saw very recently in this area, the Patriots got to the Super Bowl at 18-0, did not complete the job, lost to the Giants in one of the all-time classics of the NFL in the Super Bowl. So take us to the Super Bowl against the Redskins. That was a close game. They won by a touchdown. Boy, the legacy, you'd not be writing this book, most likely, had they lost that game.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting argument. I've covered the NFL for 20 years, and I'll say this, and I think I've covered, I don't know, like 15 Super Bowls. And players always say the toughest part of anything you do is playing in that Super Bowl. It's just the pressure is just immense. And so if to the Dolphins, and I think they're right on this, I'm still not 100% sure, and I've been thinking about this for years, but I think they're probably right in that if you don't win the Super Bowl, you're not finishing off. And they were able to finish, and that's their big thing. We finished. It doesn't matter if we have fewer games. Doesn't matter if there was no Twitter or Facebook that adds pressure, or there was no ESPN necessarily. We finished. And in order to duplicate and come in, as Mercury Morris would say, come into our neighborhood, in order to come into our neighborhood, you got to finish. And that's a little arrogant, a little cocky, but I also think it's probably correct. And that's what makes it hard, is getting that final game. The Super Bowl is it. And if you can get that, and if the Patriots have won that, this will be a different conversation you and I will be having. But no one's been able to do that last part, and that's arguably the hardest part.
Well, Mike Freeman is the author of Undefeated, Inside the 1972 Miami Dolphins Perfect Season. Mike, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Enjoy the upcoming season, and we'll be following you online.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.